This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
Oh, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at Geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
Hey there, pet parents. If you're like me, your furry family members mean the world to you. And that's why I'm excited to introduce to you PurePetWellness.com, your trusted source for all things CBD for pets. What sets PurePetWellness.com apart? Well, for starters, they're an American-owned family business with genuine love for animals. They understand the unique bond you share with your pets, and they've dedicated to helping your furry companions live their best lives. And I'm pretty sure that the owner's a flat earther. You can't go wrong with that. That's pretty dope, right? So if you're looking for natural solutions, Pure Pet Wellness is where your journey stops, because they have a premium CBD product specially crafted for your pets. Calming tensioners to soothing balms, they've got you covered. And conspiracy junkies get 20% off at checkout. Just hit rabbit at checkout and watch the prices.
Drop!
Welcome. Conspiracy junkies, in a world where independent thought has become a rarity, and the majority seem entrapped in a programmed existence, corporate entities led by shadow elites have become hungry for control. We're living in a time where genuine truths are often met with ridicule and dismissed as outlandish conspiracy theories. Those who dare to challenge their malevolent agenda are systematically silenced. However, amidst this pervasive mass delusion, there emerges a courageous figure who is willing to stake his life to defy these reptilian overlords and unveil the concealed realities. That individual is Catalyst Jones. So fasten your seatbelts as we embark on a journey that will take us through the rabbit holes of hidden truths and uncomfortable discoveries. I give you the White Rabbit Podcast.
And welcome, fellow truthers and conspiracy junkies, to another episode of White Rabbit. I am your host, Catalyst Jones. Been bringing the heat all fucking summer, and I'm not talking about the sun, because boy, is it fucking hot out here in Nevada. Indeed. Fuck, dude. But check it out. I got my boy with me. And when I say my boy, I mean me and this motherfucker go way in the fuck back. I'm talking like fourth grade we met, and then we became friends in sixth grade, I think. You hated me when I first moved up there.
Oh, yeah, because we were like rival hip-hop kids in the mountains.
Yeah, you were the only one that actually had some sort of fashion other than full of people, but they bit it off of you, so.
I was going to say they were borrowing our clothes.
Yeah. ladies and gentlemen, man, this is one of my best fucking friends, and if you couldn't tell, we've known each other for a long fucking time. He came out to spend 4th of July weekend with me and to do this fucking podcast. Joey Taylor, man, what the fuck is up?
What up, man? I don't know, just life, man.
Yeah, well, where's life brought you? They say that Calaveras County is the magnet or the black hole that sucks you right back in. No matter how far you try to get away from it, you always end up back there. So, did you find yourself?
Shoot, bro, like everyone else, I wanted to get out of there ASAP. So when I turned 18, I was out, just like you did. But yeah, man, I mean, but honestly, like I don't know if I lived anywhere else, I'd want to raise my kids anyway. So like, as boring as it might have been as a kid and whatnot, like, I still respect it. I spent most of my life there.
Yeah, I feel you, bro. I actually want to go back there, but where I am right now has almost that feel to it.
It does, for sure.
So I almost feel like I'm at home, even though like my friends and family aren't here. I'm making new friends and family out here, but so yeah, man, I agree with you. When we were younger, bro, I could not wait to get the fuck out of the mountains and go to a city. And actually you and I left together and we went to Vallejo and we were both working in San Francisco. So we would smash out in your little yellow fucking Pac-Man car.
The Geo Tracker, baby.
Yeah, the Geo Tracker. It was like I really wish I was a Jeep, but I'm not quite there yet.
Yeah, it's like my little miniature Wu-Tang cart, man.
Dude, how did you end up paying for that, though? Remember that?
That was you and I rolling in the 79 Corolla.
Yeah, bro. So is that what year it was? I know it was old as fuck. It didn't even have power steering.
Dude. Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was old, man. Yeah.
And so it was my first car. And I remember this day, it was like, I woke up, it was snowing. And I asked my dad, I said, hey, can I drive to school? And he was like, I don't know. Can you? I was like, yeah, I could drive to school.
Trial by fire.
So then I go to pick you up. And on the way to pick you up, dude, I spun out. And I spun out because my dumbass hit and slammed on the brakes because I didn't know what else to do, like an idiot. And so I spun out on the way to pick you up. Then I pick you up and I started heading straight to school. And you were like, yo, why are we not going to pick up Beth? And I was like, no, I'm not going to pick up Beth today. And bro, would have picked her up. She'd be fucking dead, because if she was sitting in that back seat of that car, if you remember, after we finished rolling.
Oh, yeah.
The fucking roof of the back seat was touching the fucking seat, like the actual seat. Well, he would have been smashed.
That's what I always thought about, man, because I dodged a bullet, because I would have insisted that she sat in the front. And I was like, yo, if I'd have been in the back, I'd have been toast.
Yeah, bro. So what had happened, those just listening, is we were driving to school and there was this long turn in between right at the end of Avery, or at the beginning of Avery.
Yeah, yeah, it's right there where Moran Road comes off of Highway 4 heading like towards Love Creek.
Right. So we go around this corner and I started to fishtail, and being an inexperienced driver, I overcorrected again, and then I hit the brakes and then we went off of the cliff. We rolled like three times one way, like end over end, and then we rolled like two times.
Yeah, because it was facing the wrong way when it was all said and done.
Yeah,
like, we did misty flips and shit on the way.
Yeah, we for sure did like a 360 flip and then a fucking kick. We did like a kick flip under flip.
Like almost a full 180 flip.
Yeah, bro. And the crazy thing is we both walked out of it basically untouched. You had a broken nose at the worst.
I looked like a motherfucking Klingon when it was all said and done.
Yeah.
I was like flush right here, just black eyes, blood in them and all that. But that was the worst of it, dude. And we could have been toast for sure.
It could have been real bad, bro. And actually the car ended up upside down. So we had to undo our I couldn't see you because the roof was caved in between us even. Yeah. So like you and I were completely safe. That was the fucking crazy thing of it. Mm-hmm. But I couldn't see you. And I was like, Joey, are you okay? And you were like, yeah, fucking asshole. Like,
no, it was scary though. Cause like I heard like gasoline coming out too. And I remember when we dipped out and looked back, like gas was just coming out of that bitch.
Yeah. And one of the fence posts, cause there were steel, like green and white fence posts for barbed wire fence right there. And one of the fence posts was actually going through the car as well.
Oh, shit. I forgot about that.
Yeah, I noticed that in one of the pictures. It's fucking crazy. Yeah, so we dodged a bullet. And so you got injured. And so my insurance paid you for having to go through that amazing story.
Right.
And you got a car out of it. So
indeed. I couldn't touch it till I was 18. But as soon as I turned 18, trial by fire, buy a stick, learn how to drive it, and don't die.
Yeah, hell yeah. Well, you did almost kill us a few times going back and forth between Bart and the apartment, bro. Like, you thought you were like on a fucking land speeder from fucking Star Wars and shit, bro. You were like dodging, weaving in and out of traffic and shit, listening to like fucking, I don't even know, like fucking, damn it, what was it like a fucking like whoa, 100 miles switching lanes, like rough. Whoa, yeah. No, but that shit wasn't out yet. But when that song came out and it said like 100 miles switching lanes, like whoa, yeah. I was like, oh, that's Joey.
Yeah, bro. And then when I was by myself, I was falling asleep, almost hitting the fucking center divide all the time. I was super sketchy all the time.
Dude, we've been through some fucking crazy shit through like our fucking like punk rock stage. Like it was crazy because I went through like a punk rock stage, but I never let go of the punk rock. And then we went into hip hop stage and I still catch myself listening to a lot of punk shit.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's not really in my playlist, but I still love it. And I'll listen to it sometimes, too.
Yeah, I was driving to work a couple weeks ago. And one of the songs from Answer That and Stay Fashionable AFI came on and I was like, you know what? Fuck it. And I just hit play whole album. And so on the way to work, I listened to a good half of that album. Yeah. Just brought back memories of us going to the slab in Dorrington and like making our own skate park and shit and listening to that shit. You know, like
I was telling people about like the Borderline Warehouse and shit and how like there was a full I mean, there's still a little bit of a scene out there, but that dude brought a real fucking scene in high school out here. Or out there, I should say.
Yeah, Borderline. Well, he brought like the best of the best. I mean, we had
before they were blown. I mean, we fucking watched AFI before they blew up in the mainstream and shit.
Right. Well, there. And then he even got people that blew up like after the fact of blowing up too, because I remember he got Goldfinger out there, which is not that good of a band anyway, but they were on the radio.
Yeah.
And I remember they were pissed off when they got there because they were like, we didn't realize it was this kind of a fucking venue. And it was like, fuck you, asshole. And Angie Wilbur's brother actually like started a fight with him and he jumped off stage and they got in a fucking fist fight and shit.
I was like, didn't the Mighty Mighty Boston's even come out there? Or was that a bigger show we went to somewhere else?
I've only seen the Boston's in San Francisco.
Okay. Maybe
I went with Andy and Josh Tagnod. Yeah. Why can't I think not Andy Bristow, but Andy. Fuck, I can't think of his name. He actually even owns a fucking record label now. Good. Yeah, that's what he's never fucking swayed away from the music.
Andy Pohl?
Andy Pohl.
He was they were all in that band in high school together, right?
Yeah, they had Dan
Brown and all the
Dan Brown and Mac Bowman.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, that
what was the name of their
Porn Cops?
Yeah, they had a couple. They went by a couple of different names, I think.
Yeah, because they had a few different ones. Because I was
Blast Bandits.
I think Blast Bandits was the one that they formed with the guys in Ripon. And what's crazy is you know the singer of the guy from Ripon because you and Mike Sledge went on a houseboat with him one time. The guy.
Oh, I forget dude's name. That was so long ago. He was super cool, though.
Yeah. And I knew him because we went to fourth grade together. So I knew him before I moved up to Arnold.
Oh, wow. So you knew him even before you knew us.
Yeah, because I lived in Ripon. Okay. And so then when you like said you knew him and I was like, you don't know him.
Oh, I remember like making that crazy connection. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. So and then
his name.
It'll come to me after we finish recording, you know. Well, he went on, dude. He went on to join Link 80. He joined some really big name bands. I'm not really sure what he's doing now because, you know, my Facebook and my original Facebook and my original Instagram got blasted. Well, my original Instagram got nuked. And then my Facebook, I'm locked out of it. It's there. And so I'll post shit on Instagram and it automatically populates what I post on Instagram onto that Facebook account, but I can't log into it. And it's funny too, because people will be like, I've been writing you on Messenger. And I'm like, sorry, dude, I can't log into that bullshit. I see you posting every day. And it's I'm like, well, yes and no. But so do you remember when you and I thought we were gangsters and I pulled a heist in Los Angeles and I came back with all this money and we invested in it into our drug dealing fucking venture?
Vaguely. We haven't talked about it in a long time. I forget how that all went down, but that sounds familiar now.
All right. So I was living in L.A. and you had just moved into Jamie's house again
from being down there, right?
Yeah, you were from you. Well, yeah, that's right. Because you left the Bay Area because I moved out there after I broke my ankle, and I moved out there to pursue skateboarding and fucking a famous career, whatever that entailed.
Yeah, because wasn't Mark was down there already, right? Or did he move down there after you?
No, Converse was already out there, and I was thinking about going back to the Bay Area, and it was like in Vallejo with you, I was renting for a couch, and I was like, no, I don't want to do that. And Mark was like, we'll come out here and we'll split a room together. And so I went out to Southern California, and then I was out there for a while. And then you, I don't know why, but you were working at the Nike store already. And I was like, come out to LA, bro. And you were like, well, fuck it. I can just transfer to Oxnard.
Yeah. I went from the Nike town in Frisco to the outlet out there in Oxnard. And it was still a little bit of a trek, but I wasn't doing shit in the Bay. And so I was like, all right, fuck it. Let's do it.
Yeah. Yeah. So you went out there, and then I don't know why you moved back, but I do know Crazy Lady kicked us out at one point.
Yeah, and we just didn't really have shit popping out there. And we're like, okay, wait a minute. So we're from out here. There's no good weed out there. There's good weed here. Let's try to make something happen here.
Yeah, that's right. And so you moved back to Calaveras County. I stayed out there for a while. I pulled like a straight Ocean's 11 heist. And Mark Converse was a part of it, and he didn't even know it at the time.
I was fucked up.
Yeah, he was the getaway driver, and I paid him with an ounce of weed, bro.
This podcast is supported by The Real Real. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The Real Real.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more, and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell, fast, to our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
Then I told him about what really happened later on. So anyway, I had a huge come up. And we go, all right, I move in Angel's Camp with you. And we take all that money and we go to... Man, seriously, like the worst drug addict tweaker motherfucker ever that we used to go to in the Bay Area. And anyways, that was the time where ecstasy was really popping off with pressed ecstasy pills. So we were getting ecstasy. We were getting weed. And that was basically what we were getting. I think you were grabbing some other stuff, but I didn't really know anything about the other stuff enough. And I think you might have had Katie Schultz helping you at the time.
You can't be name dropping.
Oh, I don't give a fuck, bro. It's fine. It's fine. It's so many years past. You can't be implicated in anything.
No, that's true, but still, man.
So, anyway, so at the time, yeah, we were. I came, I invested all that money. We bought a bunch of stuff and we started flipping stuff. And do you remember... There was one night, it was going decent. I mean, it's not like we were like...
Oh, we weren't balling.
We weren't balling. Yeah, we were basically just having fun and being able to maintain that having fun lifestyle. It's not like we were fucking buying baller ass cars or anything like that. We were basically partying to party.
Pretty much, yeah.
But then you went and re-upped and then you were going out one day and you brought like everything with you, and then you were like gone forever, bro, forever. And then you finally came back and I was like, bro, what took you so long, right? Mm-hmm. And you're like, you ever have a fucking gun pointed at you?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. You remember what happened there?
Oh yeah. That was some dumb shit. Yo, like my best fucking customers. So I thought fucking pulls a gun on me over just a couple ounces. And it's like, really, dude? But I'm pretty sure that shit was all set up anyway.
No, it was because you were like, oh, man, you're really going to do this to me? And he's like, oh, I'm sorry, I have to, yeah. You know, and you were like, okay,
yeah,
like what the fuck kind of shit was that, bro? And then you like came anyway, you came back and I was like, I took it as a sign. I was like, you know what? I came up on that money in a way that I shouldn't have came up on that money on. And so fuck it, let's just cut our losses. And I stopped then and there. I don't know if you kept going, but
you know, I tried to like scrape and just like at least flip what I had left and whatnot. But I pretty much took it as a sign as well. Like I was, you know, I didn't have the heart for that type of shit. I'm not the kind of cat that's going to go pull guns on fools and get my shit back and chance life in prison and shit.
So right.
I was like, yo, this ain't really for me. I'm too nice for this shit and I'm too pretty for prison anyway. So I'll just cut my losses as well.
But you know what's fucked up is like I brought hella weed back from Southern California and that's what we started out with. And so we got our name out there. It's like, oh, they got that good SoCal shit, right? Oh, yeah. And then we started going to this guy from the Bay Area and it was just mediocre weed. But at the same time, we also had like ecstasy and shit. So,
yeah,
I don't know, man, that shit was crazy. I remember there was one time we went to re-up and we had we literally re-upped. So we had every fucking thing in the car. It was me, you, and the name drop that I just dropped a minute ago.
Yeah, and that was sketchy.
And we had just smoked weed, but we like threw every time we would do our runs, we put everything like up inside the dashboard. And then on the side of your car, you had plastic pieces that would come off. And so we would like shove them in the plastic pieces and put the plastic back over
it.
We thought
we were so slick. Our shit wasn't even vacuum sealed or anything,
bro. And then this motherfucking cop pulls us over because you're doing your fucking.
Wait, it wasn't just that. Like I had a tail light that was fucked up. I think I drove cool usually if I had shit in the car, but one of my taillights was fucked.
But bro, that was one of those movies like that's from a movie because I swear to God, everything slowed down in time for me. I'm like, fuck.
Oh yeah.
And then what's her face was like, I'm just gonna light a cigarette. It'll make all the smell of the weed go away. And I'm like, yeah, bullshit, bitch. Like, you know,
but we like somehow,
bro. And like he just kept coming back. And I swear, bro, I'm sitting in the back of that car like the kid from Super Troopers and shit. Like he's already pulled over. He can't pull over any fuck. I'm freaking out, man.
Yeah, that was sketchy as fuck. Yeah. That was a lot of felonies in the car.
Yeah, and then they let us go.
Yep.
That's crazy.
And then we think we were so cool after that too.
Yeah, we just like boom, voila. Like fuck you, Houdini shit, and we keep doing what we're doing. You know, it's we're lucky, you know, like that situation that you were put in, if you weren't so naive about the situation that you were in and
it could have been ugly.
It could have been really ugly. Yeah. You definitely could have fucking not come back that night. You know,
if I wasn't so green and like chill a person I am, I might've been strapped and it could have went completely different.
You weren't strapped back then?
Oh, hell no, dude. I was like 19, 20 years old. I didn't even own a gun yet, man. Yeah. No. That's how naive I was. But at the same time, like that shit just didn't pop off where we lived anyway.
No, it really didn't pop off.
And had I not been fucking with tweakers, could like, you know, being basically getting ahead of myself in the game, like I wouldn't have even had to deal with that if I wouldn't have been like, oh, I want to be like all the rappers I listen to. Like, no, I should have just stuck to selling fucking weed and hippie drugs and not fucking with tweakers and I'd have been fine.
Well, though, you did get robbed for weed though.
But I wouldn't have been robbed for weed had I not connected with homie to get some dope for my other boy to sell for me anyway, because that just wasn't something that I dealt with. But because I got connected with him trying to get in the dope game, that's where it all went wrong.
See, that's crazy. But you were the best person too. Who would have been able to get into the dope game with your business mentality and your anti-drug policy anyway? So you were like
you didn't have to smoke me out when you came and bought weed for me. It was just like, oh, you good, man.
Yeah it was all just
money coming to me.
It was product. You never had to worry about Joey getting high off of his own supply because he didn't fuck around. So like you were definitely at that business mentality, but you were like,
I was green, man.
You were kind of street dumb even though you listened to Wu-Tang. Like,
yeah. Well, I was, you know, I was a little white kid in the mountains. Like I was attracted to that shit, but I didn't live it. I wasn't experienced with it. You know, we could sell drugs safely if we stuck to the right people in our area. But I was getting too big for my britches and ain't no money like dope money.
Right. But we fucked around with real people, you know, like especially when we were in, well, when I was in Southern California, you know, like I was dealing with legit people from fucking South Central LA and shit. Like there was a time when I almost got robbed and didn't even realize that I was about to get robbed, but my homie fucking like stepped in and avoided the situation. I'm like,
yo, do you remember? I'm pretty sure you were with us. Like we went to, I worked in Oxnard and like kind of got invited to some house parties, and being from where we're from, like there's no gangs and shit like where we're from. And oh man, but I was a little hip hop kid that loved to match. And remember, like I had like a completely fucking blue outfit on. And I think I was even rocking a blue rag and like not like gangster shit, but just hip hop shit. And we almost got jumped by some kids that Mark knew, and he stopped it like just in time.
Damn, no, I don't remember that, but I'm not surprised.
No, because we went to the house party. Vibes just weren't cool because I mean, we stuck out like a fucking green hat with an orange bill. And so we were like,
nice M&M drop.
Yeah, this wasn't for us. So we dipped and then we went back to the house and there was this car kind of flipping around, following us around and shit. And like, it just stopped. And it was like a fucking circus clown car, yo. Like 10 fucking Northerners just fucking pop out of this car and fucking run up the stairs like screaming shit. And Mark was like, what the fuck? And luckily he knew one kid that was in that little group of kids that were just getting ready to fucking roll us up. And
nice.
He was able to stop it just in time and explain to dude like, yo, we're not from here. Like, it's nothing. And I was like, oh my God. And yeah, that was a reality check for sure.
Yeah, definitely. No, I mean, I even witnessed a shooting when I was out there in South Central. So I was just sitting there chilling with one of my boys, and there was a house party going on like a couple doors down from where he lived. And so this guy walked back and forth like a few times, but we didn't really think anything of it because there was a house party and there was just people walking back and forth. So normal. Right. But like he was hella just mean mugging like the last time. And then he was like 36 Crip till I slip. What, you know? Oh, and the guy, Jerry, that I was with, he stands up and he was like, get the fuck on with that shit. You know, I don't fucking bang. Get the fuck out of here. Right. And so this guy fucking bounces, but not even 5 minutes later, he comes back and he starts to like open up the gate. Like he's going to come in and like try to square up with Jerry and shit. And this guy that I just met that day, so I don't remember his name. It was straight out of fucking Boys in the Hood because dude was drinking a 40, bro. Oh, no. Like a straight 40 ounce, right? And it's in South Central. But anyways, this guy goes to open up the gate. And before he can fucking get it fully open and walk in, the dude fucking smashes the bottle over his head. And he fucking falls into the gate and then onto the ground. And we all start laughing or whatever. And he stands up and pulls out a fucking gun and start shooting at all of us. And so I run around like where the front is just like a little walkway, but there's like hedges. And so like I run with my head down so he can't see where I ran to. And then I just drop down underneath the car in the front between the car and the drive, the garage door in the car. And I'm just laying down there kind of looking underneath the car, trying to see what the fuck is going on and everything. And I see the older man, I say older, he's probably our age now. He was in his 40s, gray hairs and shit. Yeah. But anyways, older black gentleman runs out with a fucking revolver and he fucking starts shooting at this guy. He hits him in the leg. The guy tries to run towards where the fucking party is. I'm thinking, fuck, dude, this entire party is going to come over here and light us the fuck up. Thank God that didn't happen. But anyways, I don't know if I should tell the rest of this story, but one of the parties that I was with fucking basically popped the trunk of the car that I was hiding in, grabbed a fucking shotgun and shot this guy in the face, but it was like bird shot or salt shot. Something like that. And so it didn't fucking kill him, but what it did do is it peeled all of the skin off of his fucking face, bro. It was brutal. I think he ended up dying later on in the hospital, but I'm not 100% sure. Yeah, so I seen some shit out there, bro. So
I can't say I've seen that.
And actually, even when we were I don't know if you remember me telling you this, but yeah, this was when you and I were out there together, I'm pretty sure, or it was one of the times I was visiting you, but there on Market Street, there was bums arguing over like a fucking dollar, some sort of a dollar bill, $5 bill, $1 bill, who knows what it is. They were arguing and put, basically tug of warring over it. And then one of them runs out, like, out into the road, like they're about to sprint across the street, like running towards the Walgreens that was close to Old Navy, and motherfucker gets hit by a goddamn minivan. And then like gets shot off the front of the fucking minivan, rolled up, rolls. And by the time it was done rolling, it was like, dude, limbs were, yeah, it was so fucking sketchy looking. And I was, yeah. So those are two things I wish I could like unsee in my life.
Oh yeah.
But yeah. So when that shit happened to you, you know, like I'm glad. I'm like, you know what? That was karma, because like I came up on that money in a way that I shouldn't have come up on that money. Yeah. And it could have been way fucking worse than it was, you know?
Yeah. We didn't have no business doing what we were doing.
No, we thought we did. So then we put our efforts to good use. And, you know, I remember you telling me you were going to be a rapper, and I laughed at you. Mm-hmm. And then I listened to what you were doing. And no offense to you, but I was like, fuck that, dude. This guy thinks he's going to be a rapper. I could do this better than what he's doing. And so I took it as a competitive thing. So me, you, and Paul basically kind of started hip hop in Calaveras County. Would you agree with that?
There were some older heads that had done it before us, but I don't think they ever kind of took it to the level that we made it to.
Are you talking about like Jeff Kolsky and the guys that he used to fuck with? Oh, speaking of people that got fucked over in the drug game, damn.
Yeah, I've heard lots of different stories about that. So I don't really get into that situation.
So here's the skinny that I know from Donnie, which is his dad, is he lived out here in Reno. So he lived about a half hour away from right here.
Are you sure you should delve into this?
Yeah, it's not a big deal, bro. Okay. Yeah, no, I mean, everything I say is listen to it. Dude, fucking feds know my entire life.
I'm not talking feds. I'm just talking people in circles that might not want shit to be talked about. But
oh, they can suck a dick, dude, because my show is 100% transparency. And if you don't like what I talk about, then you have an issue with it and you need to get over what it is that I'm talking about, because I am 100% unapologetically me, and all the stories that I tell are 100% legit. I will hold back on names if it's going to hurt people, but in this case, it doesn't hurt anyone. So it was our good friend Jeff Kolsky who started hanging out with the wrong fucking people, to the point where I feel bad, because the very last time that I saw him was in Reno at a nightclub, and I went out there with Adela and some of her friends, some other friends, maybe even people from Calaveras County. But I saw him just posted leaning up, because that's what he did, is he went to the nightclubs and he offed his fucking product. And anyways, so I talked to Donnie after this had all happened, and basically the Reno Sheriff's Department put it under that it was suicide by hanging. And a week before this, he had asked Donnie if he could get $100,000 and he would be able to pay him back some way or another, but there's people after him and it's going to be bad if he's not able to pay them. And basically Donnie said, I don't have access to that kind of fucking money. And then, you know, a week later he was found hung in his apartment. And so I feel bad, because the last night that I saw him, I looked over and we were closer than me and you are right now, because I was like walking through people. So I was basically skin to skin with this guy. I look over, we make eye contact, and I just fucking, what the hell is that about, Katana? And I just look over at him, and then I just fucking kept looking forward and walked right by his ass as if I never fucking met him in my life.
Yeah, you can't change shit. I mean, he had the opportunity to reach out to you too.
True.
But that is a sad situation.
Yeah, no, it's fucked up, so... But yeah, I don't know, man. You were the king of falling, though. You remember, like, we were just talking about like borderline, and that was like, I don't know, like you got into skateboarding, I feel, for the culture and the style of it. And I think I got into it for the art and creativity of actual skateboarding. So I wanted to learn all of the tricks and you wanted to learn all the style. And so
yeah, I could see that. Yeah. Yeah.
And so like I put 100% dedication into the craft of skateboarding and you put 100% dedication into mastering the art of the skateboarder.
I would say probably more like 80%, because I really don't put 100% into hardly anything.
So
like 80%.
I remember we would just get like, we would get those, we would get the CCS, the California cheap skate.
Yeah.
And then there was another one. It was California
Skate Express or something.
Yes.
CSE.
Yes. Yeah. And then they also had snowboard stuff too, which was perfect because we grew up in the mountains. So we would get through school, we would get discount season passes. So we all snowboarded, or there were some people that skied. I think the only respectful person was Brandon McFall.
Yeah, Brad McFall.
Or Brad McFall, I mean.
Tore it up.
Yeah. Because he, bro, could have went to the Olympics.
I was going to say, didn't he go pro for a while?
I think he was pro, yeah.
Awesome.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, that'll work. So, I don't know. I feel like that was a very important pivotal point in our growing up, because it was like our introduction to not being kids anymore. You know, it was like us finding an identity, our self identity, because up until then it was like you lived in Lilac Park and our identity was like going into the apple orchard and throwing it at cars that were driving by on fucking Highway 4, you know, like,
yeah, it's pretty bad.
listening to, you know, Dr. Dre and all these people and shit, and kind of like basing our lives off of what they were talking about. Yet we were like the pinecone posse that lived in the fucking sticks.
Experiencing that life,
right?
Trying to emulate it, I guess.
And I think that skateboarding and snowboarding gave us another outlet to where we were able to see these people that kind of grew up the same way that we did, that were able to incorporate like their love for hip hop and punk rock and incorporate it with another genre, which is skateboarding, which embraced like both of it. It is basically like a fuck you type of a culture.
Yeah, skate culture brought it all together.
Yeah. So like, what was appealing to the skateboarding culture to you? Like, I know what it was appealing to me, but like what drew you into it?
As a kid, like, we rode skateboards, but back then it was just, you'd sit down on the thing and go down the hill, whatever. So I always had skateboards. It just, when it came to like high school and we all just started kind of doing it more seriously for tricks, because that was just what we were into with snowboarding and shit. So when I started really skating again, I think it was like 94, 95. And we were like in the whole grunge era at that point, I remember.
Yeah, I think because that was
punk rock took over more in like freshman year. Yeah,
I think we really got into it in eighth grade. And RIP to Morales.
Chad Morales.
Chad Morales. Yeah, he was a part of that. Part of that turning us into the whole skateboarding thing as well. But yeah, man, and it's not like, because we grew up in the mountains, so we had to be really innovative in the stuff that we would skate, right?
We had to kind of create shit.
So the slab, I know I brought it up before, but the slab was great, right? Because we had like fallen trees that we would turn into rails, you know, like these big ass fucking like fallen trees and shit like that. We would like lay it off of the stage at the slab. And the slab is basically, for those listening or even watching, you're not going to be able to see it. I wish we had pictures of it, but it was just really bad concrete. It was just a flat piece of concrete, but it was so old and like
it had rock in it.
Corroded. Yeah. So you could barely roll on this shit. And back then small wheels was like the fad. Yeah. So like rolling on that shit was impossible. So we would like do shit off of the stage onto the concrete down below, but the concrete was so fucked that we couldn't even roll out.
Stick.
Yep. Yeah, you would just stick. It was like just a straight, just boom. You didn't have to worry about the board sliding out from underneath you if you weren't going fast enough, because it was staying right where the fuck it was. But you mastered the art of falling, man. I've never seen anybody fall like you fall. Can you like talk a little bit about how you discovered this amazing technique of the fall and roll with it so you don't get hurt? And you were a little more round back then too.
I was gonna say, I don't know that I could pull it off like I could back then, because back then like I just had the perfect shape for it. Like I was short like basically as tall as the board was long, then it, but then kind of a ball on top of that. So it's all about as soon as you hit and you feel it coming, you just tuck and roll into that shoulder and you roll and it just pops you right back onto your feet. And, you know, I was like the kid on Hook, man. I would just tuck and roll and pop back up.
Yeah, you were. You were like the kid on Hook, the black kid that could throw his fucking legs up and do the fucking just cannonball roll. Yep, that's how you were, man. You would roll and then you would just pop back up like it was fucking like nothing. We called you the professional faller. It was funny.
It's the art of falling.
Yeah, that was great. So where are we at? 37 minutes. Okay, that's not bad at all. So I feel like no time has gone by.
No.
So after Angels Camp and all that shit, you know, we all kind of met females, you, I, Paul. Like, we haven't even really brought Paul up into the situation, but he's always been like, I wouldn't say a pillar because he comes and goes, but he's always been in the rotation of somebody that's like really important to both of us, even though we've both have our issues with him. I love you, Paul, if you're listening to this, which I doubt you are because you're a piece of shit, but I still love you. So after that whole thing where, you know, you were gunpoint and decided, hey, you know what, fuck all this shit. You met somebody, I met somebody, I moved away. What the fuck happened to you? Where'd you go?
I'm gonna say that was probably around the time I got married and shit and started having kids.
Right. Yeah. You met Jessica. You were listening to Jodeci in the shower every day. So I'm like, oh, this motherfucker fell in love.
Oh, yeah. We were still living together. Yeah. I was bumping that shit hella simping.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, damn, dude, this is like the whole week. Joey's been listening to Jodeci in the fucking shower. I'm like, yo, Paul, he's fucking, he met somebody, bro. This fool ain't telling us something.
You can't fuck with that Diary of a Mad Band album, dude. Oh, man.
So you get married, you do the whole family thing for a little while, but at that point in time, you're still making music. Somebody very important in your life comes into your life and you end up forming a group with this guy. This is after the fact that we form our group. We didn't even touch on that, but we really don't have to. Like, basically we had Dead Poets and that was the introduction to hip hop in the mountains.
Yeah. And even before that, we were trying to do the Deceptive Measures thing, but it just didn't pan out. And then we started actually having equipment studio to go to.
Right.
And we started doing the Dead Poets album.
Yeah, then we did the Dead Poets album, and we had that shit out in time for the Calaveras County Fair, which is the Frog Jumps, and we sold out that weekend.
That time is so like vague to me right now. It just seems like it flew by like nothing. Oh, but I was still pretty when we were doing. Yeah, I was still pretty wrapped up, huh? Yeah, that's weird shit.
Yeah, I can't remember. I had a song about Natalie on that album.
Yeah, and I think.
And you had a song about Katie Schultz, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, like I did my verse about her. And then like I wound up actually remixing that song completely just for like aimed at her too. Yeah. Yep, yeah. Oh, crazy times.
It is crazy times. So anyway, we go through the Dead Poet stage. I move away. You stay there with Jessica.
Yeah, and I think you and Paul had actually come up here. I believe you were back and forth up here, no?
Yeah, well, I came up here. Paul was back and forth.
Yeah.
He would stay with me for a while, go back home for a while, that type of thing. So we were still like crossing music, but that's the time that I went from Catalyst to AKA The Lonely Soldier. Because I felt like I was the only one out here, like from our group, even though Paul was out here every now and then. But I just felt like a solo artist at that point. And then you had met Mike White. And Mike White is somebody that I consider he's one of the homies, man. Like to this day, you and I were talking in the car just yesterday about there's certain people in our lives where you could go years without talking to them. And then pick up the phone and start having a conversation. Like there was no time left. You just pick up right where you fucking left off, you know? And Mike White is one of those people to me.
Yeah.
And throughout the music and even just life, man, he's been one of those that is like, bro, you're fucking up and you have a lot of potential and you're fucking up right now.
Yeah, he's a solid cat, and he won't really hold punches. And you definitely can't be a vagina and be his friend, because you won't last.
Right? No, he saw through Paul's manipulative ways, and I believe even fucking fucked him up a little bit in front of your duplex at one point, right?
Oh yeah, that was early on in our So it's funny story, like the way I even met Mike. Like, what was it? Oh yeah, I think
he worked at the bookstore.
Yeah, yeah. And I didn't know him or anything like that. And I forget, I think I just trying to think of what movie it was. Anyway, some movie made me want to read Dante's The Divine Comedy, right? And so like Jessica and my wife at the time, we go to this bookstore, and man, I forget what happened, but I'm asking him about something, and he just made me feel so fucking stupid. I was like,
"You're one of our people."
I was like, and it just like something fucking triggered me. And for whatever reason, I was like, "Do you make music?" And he was like, "Yeah, actually." And I was like, "Whatever, whatever." And he, like, this fool just, I'm going to come back and we're going to talk. This fool busts out like a few albums worth of fucking material. And I'm like, "What the shit?" And so I listen to it, and he's like already in some ways surpassed everything that we've done. And I'm like, "All right, I got to fuck with this cat." And so at that point, like, we just clicked up. And then I want to say within just a few months, like, he was already in my fucking wedding party and shit. Like, that's how quick, like, we clicked and became peoples. And it was just like kind of wild like that. And him and I started making music right away. And then like, he didn't really produce yet, but he's very musically inclined. Like, he played guitar, like he could fuck around on different stuff. And so slowly but surely we started getting equipment so he could start really producing. And yeah, man, it went hella fast from there.
And so, yeah, dude, cause how long has it been since you talked to him?
Crazy shit, dude. Like, trying to think, the last time him and I actually kicked it was probably like 2018, 2019. And we didn't really have a falling out, but we kind of had a little bit of a disagreement on some shit, because I was with a crazy bitch and I'd lost myself in her, so on and so forth. Different story for a different day. But
he was there to help me through my situation of the same.
I could see that. But I was so lost, like, nobody could tell me anything, you know? So,
right. When you're in that situation, it's so hard to fucking, and anybody outside of the situation that's trying to help you, you look at them as they're fucking enemy. You're like,
because you feel, part of you feels like subconsciously feels stupid for putting up with the shit you're putting up with. But at the same time, like, you have to defend it or whatever, you know? But yeah, we actually just reconnected on Instagram, like, just within the last couple of days. And I'm hoping to actually probably hang out with him tomorrow.
Oh, my bad. You didn't keep rocking? That's all right.
No, well, I answered your question.
That's all good. I'll see the flat line in this area, and I'll throw a commercial in. I forgot to throw out my sponsors at the beginning of this shit. I'm really bad at that.
Head shitter.
That's something I need to do more often, because I don't like the pre-recorded commercials. I think it's better to just
do it raw.
Be organic about it, you know? Like, go to Organite.com right now. And at the end of your order, if you put in promo code RABBIT, you will receive 10% off. That is Organite.com with Organite technology. It's healing technology. If you want to grow your garden better, he has stuff for that. Like, this is banned technology. The people that tried to put this out in the past have been killed for it. And, you know, he's over there like, "I don't give a fuck, dude. This is meant to be put out. This is free energy. And this actually helps people." So go over there to Organite.com and enter promo code RABBIT at the checkout, and you will receive 10% off. And now back to my buddy Joey Taylor. So yeah, bro. So then you decided to form this group with him, where you guys called yourselves Prolific. Was that straight from the gate?
It was yes and no. Like, we were playing with names and whatnot, and you know, nothing was, you know, we being who we were, we wanted it to be organic and shit. And so, like, I was just like, "Well, dude, like, we don't stop making music. Like, we just are always creating something new." I mean, it was to the point where, like, we wouldn't even finish some shit. We'd get, like, 2/3 done, and we'd already be on some other shit.
Right.
So I was like, you know, we're pretty prolific. And then, like, that just kind of stuck. And then we didn't want it to just, we wanted it to incorporate anything that we could do, whether it be like Mike or Paul's actual production, whether it, you know, be the music, you know, the rapping, the music itself, or whether it be doing shows, whatever. We didn't want to be limited. So we just prolific productions. And then it just kind of went from that, because, you know, then you could do the pro for short, and it just, you know, it just worked. And so we ran with it.
Right on. So how long did you guys do that for? And, you know, what were some of the more notable shows, I guess, or appearances that you guys did with that group?
You know, I don't know. I can't even say that there's like an end to it, because I do believe that Mike still fucks with it and reps it a little bit here and there. And who knows? I mean, now that we're reconnecting, who knows, you know, something could happen in the future with it. I don't know. I know I'm pretty sure he's still repping it though. But, you know, around that time, like we all started families and whatnot. And around the same time we're starting families, we're actually starting to pick up a little bit of traction and meet people and make connections and shit. But I don't know, it is weird, because we started making those connections, but I feel like also at the same time, like, because we were starting to gain some traction, the feel of our music changed a little bit too, because we were starting to be like, oh, yo, we're doing shows, we need crowd movers, you know, we need dance music, la, 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 la. But our roots were more like underground boom bap and shit like that. And I don't know, I feel like the more we strived to put shit out that would get more following and whatnot, it was like the less of a heart was in it. And then at the same time, you know, trying to balance, you know, hate to say it, but your more expensive hobby with actually trying to, you know, raise and grow a family as well. Like it was a hard balance. And then Mike had actually moved down to the Clovis area as well. And then, yeah, I mean, it's crazy too, because we were actually minus the more club friendly and shit stuff we were making. Like we were making some dope shit besides that too. And it's just a shame the way it like panned out, and a lot of dope music just didn't come out, because we kind of fizzled out when it came to the group itself, because we all kind of went different ways with family and priorities and whatnot. And I mean, hindsight's 2020. Like if I could go back, I would definitely kept with that shit, because I feel you definitely, to be in a healthy relationship, you still have to be about your own shit too, and not just get lost in your relationship. And I feel like I did do that, and it wasn't just bad for me, but it was bad for my family as a whole, because losing yourself in your relationship, you put way too much pressure on that other person as well and shit too, man. And
well, and yourself too, because you try to see them from how they see you in your eyes, and then you're critical on yourself trying to be that person that they expect you to be. Mm-hmm. And then you lose who you are altogether because you're trying to please somebody else. Yeah. And when that other person is not pleasable to begin with, you're just fighting a fucking lost battle, and you're bound to lose friends, family, whatnot. But you know, I'm glad you were able to work through that, you know, and I can't judge you for it, bro, because like we've talked about this a lot offline. And you know, I had a woman that it damn near fucking ripped my daughter from me, you know, like my daughter was willing to not have a relationship with me, and I was able to pull my head out of my ass before that happened. You know, it's a fucking scary thing.
Yeah. Well, not to get it twisted, my first relationship with the, you know, when we fell off the music and everything, that wasn't the super bad relationship. That was just a young relationship, us not knowing what the fuck we were doing and whatnot. So
right.
I don't want to get it twisted.
Sure.
That real negative shit was not, you know.
No, I fast forwarded a bunch of fucking years. Yeah. Hang on, I'm going to pause this real quick.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so I'm going to fast forward a little bit. So, you know, we all had our family thing, and, you know, we started doing our own thing. We still came together for music events here and there, whatnot. You know, like I hooked up with a crew that I started fucking with, basically expired Bay Area rappers. You hooked up with Mike White and Paul. Paul was kind of doing his own thing, trying to get his Scholes County thing going as well. But during that time, life hit us, and then boom, fucking fast forward like 15 fucking years, and we find ourselves in each other's lives again. Are you at all shocked to see that I am not making music anymore and I am doing what we're sitting here doing right now? Like, were you like thrown back a little bit? Like, oh shit, like Catalyst took it to podcasts and he's one of those fucking weird tinfoil hat wearing flat earth guys.
Not really. Cause I mean, like, even in like high school, like you were about like production type shit. I mean, you were the one like in the video production classes and doing all that shit. So like, I don't know, like when I heard that you were doing it, I was just like, huh, it makes sense. You know, I don't know, like some people that didn't have that background with you might be surprised about it, but I feel like, I mean, you kind of geeked out with this shit in high school with like Kyle and Chris and them anyway. So it made sense to me.
Yeah, I took all the available classes that were available to us in high school. And then I kept my education going after high school the best way that I could too. You want to move that microphone up to you just a little bit, brother?
It looked like it was dropping down my bed.
There's that.
Oh, my bad.
Right there. Yeah.
It's been a while since I've messed with this type of shit.
There you go. That's perfect. So what, you know, like, okay, so that didn't surprise you, but what about the fact that the things that I talk about when you found out that I was a tinfoil hat wearing conspiracy junkie, did that surprise you at all?
Not really.
Or did you see that one coming too?
I wouldn't say I saw it coming, but I definitely wasn't surprised. I mean, we were young in high school and shit, so we weren't necessarily like all into conspiracy theories because we didn't have internet like this back then anyway. But I mean, we were looking at the Anarchy Cookbook and shit like that back then anyway. So we were always kind of intrigued by that type of shit. It just wasn't out there like it is now. So it would make sense to me. I mean, even myself, like I'm not as deep down the rabbit hole as you, but I definitely have ears to hear and eyes to see shit. And I definitely question things. So, I mean, it made sense to me.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you, is because a lot of people in my community will say that we're going through something called the Great Awakening, where normies are waking up and they're realizing, hey, fucking the shit that I'm watching on TV and the shit that the news is telling me isn't really matching up with reality of what I'm seeing online and these kind of things. So like, this is the question that I ask everybody that comes on my show. And I don't know if you've necessarily had this moment or not, but after I showed you some of the movies and videos I've showed you since you've been up here chilling with me, you should have at least had one of these moments. Does a moment stand out in your life where you took a red pill unexpectedly and was like, and it changed everything, where you were like, holy fuck, that changes everything. Santa Claus is not real. And let me fix this microphone boom for you. So what was your it moment that stands out where you were like, Santa Claus is not real? What the fuck?
When it comes to that shit, like I can't, when it comes to like conspiracy theories, like as a whole, I can't say there was like a big moment. For me, it was more like, and I won't get too deep into it because it's like some more personal shit that I probably shouldn't talk about until some certain things are completely finished up and squared away. But it was more like just a sense of like recognizing that there is real evil out there that would have no problem hiding the type of shit that you would say is being hidden from us and whatnot. Like, I'm not one to say, like, I definitely say the earth is flat and there's definitely, you know, reptilians and shit like that. But I'll be the one to say there's a good fucking possibility, because I've seen some ill shit. I've witnessed real fucking evil, and like, I wouldn't put it past, you know, people to do the things that, you know, we see may or may not be going on. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. Do you think that it's people doing these evil things, or do you think that they've possibly been overtaken by another entity, slowly being possessed by something of great evil that causes them to do these things? Or do you think that people in general are just evil and have evil tendencies?
So that's another one of those, like, I'll just say, like you say to me sometimes, yeah, in the sense of like, sure, it could be that way either way. I couldn't say one way or the other. Like I definitely believe that there is the possibility of, you know, possession of sorts. But I also think, like, and it can go either way, like, say, addiction for one thing. Like, some people could say that that is a form of possession, you know, in the sense of, like, you're a slave to that sensation or that spirit, whatever you want to call it. So I definitely believe that possession is a possibility on whatever level you want to say it is, whether it be an actual entity or not. It's a possibility, but I'm not going to say, oh yeah, it is for sure. Or, oh no, it's not for sure. Cause I don't fucking know. I'm just a dude trying to figure shit out. And I recognize that there's a lot of possibilities on different levels that maybe some people don't want to recognize. Like a lot of people on the spiritual level, well, that's not a thing. Or the spiritual level is too much of a thing. It just depends on where somebody's head is at. And I just want to be open-minded to shit because I don't know shit and I can't prove shit. So I'm like, all right, that's a possibility.
Right. I love it. So that's a good stance, though. At least you're not it's bad when you have your feet firmly stood in one side or the other, you know. Yeah. Like I would say that my feet are firmly stood in, and there's definitely entities, and I'm not saying they come from outer space. They come from outer space, which was explained in that Level With Me movie that I had you watch the other day.
On an extraterrestrial level, just right. From other lands that you're not exposed to.
And that's what I believe. I do want to reel it into this whole extraterrestrial thing, because you and I growing up, one of our biggest things is we did live in the woods and everything. Yeah. And around that time,
fire in the sky boy over here.
Well, yeah, no, fire in the sky like threw me for a loop and scared the fucking shit out of me, right? But that's not what I want to talk about. Right. Is there is a TV show that was out around that time.
Oh, X-Files, baby.
X-Files, bro. So it was like almost a weekly thing. When mm-hmm. X-Files were on, I was over at your house and we would watch that shit together. Mm-hmm. So with all the uncovering of alien, whatever you want to call it, whether it's propaganda or actually exposure of what's going on, you know, you got Blink-182's Tom DeLonge, who's actually working with the fucking CIA. He says they're interdimensional beings, which I agree that some of them are. So, you know, after some of the shit that I've shown you this weekend, some of Sean Hibbler's films and ODD films and whatnot, what do you think? Like, you know, that was a big part of our growing up is aliens.
Well, no doubt. Cause like I, even prior to, you know, you and I meeting and shit, I remember one time we were having a sleepover at my homie's house in Angels Camp, and he had like this cool deck outside and up on the second story. And we would just go out there with our sleeping bags and shit. And it must have been, I mean, I moved from Angels Camp in like third grade. So it had to have been like first or second grade. We're out there and we're just looking at the stars, like some little kids looking at stars, talking shit and whatever. And we all saw it. And there's these two lights that just boom, 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 boom across the sky on one side of the sky. And then did the same exact thing, like mirrored it on the other side. And then the shit was just gone. And we're little kids. And we all saw the same shit and we're like, you know, that's some alien shit. And then like, I didn't think much of it until, you know, we got older and whatnot. Like, that was real shit, man. Like,
none, I'm sorry.
No
bro.
Human shit does that shit.
I just remembered, and this might have even been after high school, bro. Check this shit out. Uh-oh. Oh, man. You fucking, this was the funniest shit you've done. Uh-oh. Oh, bro. Okay. So we were sleeping on Troy Cardis out in Love Creek. Uh-huh. We were sleeping on Troy Cardis's fucking trampoline. And there was a night, there was some shit going on at Josh Bridges' house, Troy Cardis' house, and somebody else out there. It might have been Jesse Kreisberg. But we were out there, and we were going to go to sleep, and we were on the trampoline. But then we decided, and it was probably me being scared about fire in the sky, actually, and we decided we're going to walk over to fucking Josh Bridges' house. And you fucking stepped off of the fucking trampoline and your foot fell through.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
Your foot fell through and then you fell forward. The springs fucking pulled you back up. Yeah. So you were straight up and down again, and then you fell again straight forward, dude. That is the funny, and it's funny because that must have been over 30 years ago, and I can still see it in my head, bro. That's fucking...
Yeah, that hurt pretty good. I remember that. Yeah, those were the shit parties though, man, out there.
Bro, Love Creek parties, there isn't nothing like them. It was actually about 2 years before the pandemic. Even though Gabe is like, I don't believe in any conspiracy ever. Even though that, like, we still agree about certain things. So he invited me to come out. They actually have a disc golf course out there in Love Creek, and it's invite only because they created it. Within it's fucking, it's one of the best courses ever, too.
It's pretty big, ain't it?
Oh, yeah, dude. And it has, like,
the lava flows and everything.
Oh, it has everything. And there's even one where you throw over the pond. So there's, like, it's fucking so dope. Anyway, so he invited me out there. They did the disc golf, and then they did the potluck. And they have, like, you know, everybody out there is a fucking musician. So, like, yeah, everybody's out there is a musician as well. So, like, after everybody ate, they're just, like, fucking smoking weed and fucking playing music, whether it's the bongos or the guitar. Dude, it was just, I love that fucking feeling. It was amazing, bro.
Good vibes out here.
Yeah. And I always said, too, it was funny because this was before the fucking pandemic. And I was like, if shit hits the fan, I'm going out to Love Creek and kicking it with the fucking Bridges, like, because they're completely self-sufficient out there. You know, I don't know what their gun situation is, but, you know, because nowadays I've also learned, like, it doesn't matter, like, what you have to grow and everything. It's like, can you protect what you have? Because other people that don't have what you have are going to try to get it from you.
Shit hits the fan.
Yes. So, yeah, that's kind of where I am now, is I'm in a situation to where shit hits the fan, bro. Like, we're fully protected. We're fully able to grow our own food. We got ranchers. So we have meat. We have, we're good. And we can protect it. So anyways, I don't want to get too far off. But so what do you think aliens are, bro? Interdimensional beings, fucking little green men from outer space, or possible civilizations from land that we're not, that we don't know about?
Yeah.
Yeah. All of it.
Yeah. It's the same shit to me, man. Cause like, I don't know. I was pretty faded one night, and I started thinking, which, you know, that happens from time to time.
Right.
But I started thinking to myself, like, how people, like, and not even just people, just how evolution starts and happens anyway. And I think to myself, like, the further we go with technology and whatnot, like, the less we are. I mean, just think about it. Like, already, like, you have to, basically nowadays, people have to pay their kids to go outside off of, you know, their devices and whatnot. So
that's, like, crazy.
So, like, we're eventually going to be to the point where, like, we don't even need melanin to protect us from the sun because we ain't going outside. We're on devices all day. I mean, even now, like, hella people work remotely. So that's less sun.
Have you seen the movie WALL-E?
It's been a minute. I don't know if I've watched it all the way through.
Yeah. They're in the spaceship and they're just on these pods.
Yeah.
And they fucking, like, order their food through a machine and they just suck it down.
Yeah.
They don't exercise, like,
that type of shit. And when I was, and so that was a story kind of building up to it. But the way I was thinking, I was like, yo, like, let's just say these are little pasty white, you know, creatures. Like, if they're that, and this is just brainstorming. This is nothing I'm standing on, but let's just say, like,
they're us from the future.
In a sense, maybe not from the future, but maybe they're from somewhere where they've already got technology advanced to the point that they are just, like, in, I don't want to say a simulation or whatever, but I mean, the way we're going, like, with the metaverse and all that shit, like, people will low key be just playing first person life games, not a shooter,
right?
First person life games where you're basically living your life from home in this fucking metaverse thing.
Yeah, you spend more time in that than you do in the real world.
You're spending, like, digital currency and shit, and you're really not doing a fucking thing.
That's where it's going, bro.
Yeah, so at that point, you wouldn't need melanin. You wouldn't need muscle tone. You'd just be a pasty fuck and wouldn't be doing anything. And not to say, like, there obviously would be technologically advanced, but I feel like in these senses, like, if that's where a civilization went, it was more like they definitely didn't choose the spiritual journey, where you have to make that choice of going the spiritual or the technological route. They're just like, they just went all in that way.
Do you think we're at that fork right now, or do you think we've already passed it?
You know, that's hard to say because it to me, it depends on where you look. Like if you just are a news like media junkie, you're either going to buy into the sense of, oh, like we're helping everybody and doing this good thing, or you're going to look at it as like, yo, these are dark fucking times. We're all screwed. But like for me, I do my best not to delve into either way of that and just recognize like there is still beauty here. And we just really got to focus on that shit, because if you focus on the rest of it, you're going to be a slave to either one of them.
So you live in California, not necessarily that you live in like California. You're like on the outskirts where it's kind of Hickville in a sense, but
yeah. But with the pandemic and all that, like the housing market got all fucked up because everybody started working from their cabins and shit. And so we definitely feel it even in our area.
Yeah. So what do you think about this whole woke agenda that is basically California adopted, that is, in my opinion, destroying not only the family unit and what family represents and stands for, it's tearing, you know, I feel like these teachers are basically trying to become the parent in the situation, and they're opening our kids up to these things sexually that they shouldn't be opened up to yet. You know, it's like, oh, all inclusive. Like, yeah, all inclusive. Like, you know, like you can have your drag time story hour, but not with these underage kids. Like I'm not homophobic, because at the same time, I'm not going to take a fucking 10-year-old to a strip club to read fucking Clifford the Big Red Dog.
Yeah. I don't know. It's unfortunate, because what our kids are exposed to at such a young age, even besides school and whatnot. I mean, unfortunately, the fact of the matter is, if you have your child in any kind of public establishment, whether it be childcare, school, whatever, which nowadays, like most families are going to have to expose their kids to one or the other, because trying to make it nowadays on one income, that's going to be tough anyway. But
even two,
you're going to be struggling. And especially like if you have to, and like the fucking toss up of, should I work or should I put my kid in childcare, and where's that balance going to be and whatnot. But I mean, although that was set up a long time ago so they could do what they're going to do. But I think it becomes kind of a catch 22, because like for my own daughters, and for instance, like I was for a minute there, like I was ultra Christian and thought I was protecting my daughters from shit. And really like I was kind of screwing myself and them in a sense by holding too tight and basically making them at some point rebellious, instead of like just finding that happy medium of like, yo, what can I let my kids do and find that balance of guidance into that, so they know what to look for when they're, you know, when shit comes, you know, to the forefront and they have to deal with it. But I didn't know what I was doing at the time. And so like in those senses, you can not expose your kids to shit and then they just wind up wilding out or whatever, instead of trying to find that learning opportunity to where you can guide them into that. And I'm more about that now, you know, now that I'm out of the situations I was in at the time, and I'm not knocking any kind of religion, but I was in my journey, I was kind of ignorant at the time and not being able to find that balance.
That's crazy. So you just reminded me of something. When Kalea turned 18, she wrote a letter to me, and in the letter, it thanked me for never sugarcoating anything. She said, when I came to you for advice, you never sugarcoated shit. You told me the worst possible scenario and told me the best possible scenario and gave me, and never told me what to do. You just showed me the outcomes of both ways, yeah, type of a thing. Mm-hmm. And I never sugarcoated shit from her. Like, you know, like even with my own self, you know, she's like, what's going on with you? Blah, blah, blah. I was like, you know what? I fucked up. I went on a drinking binge for like fucking 3 days, you know, like we're all trying to figure this shit out for the first time. And I was like, I looked at my parents as if they knew everything and they were gods, you know? And then there came a point in my life when I knew for a fact, I don't remember exactly what it was, but I just remember there being a time when I realized that I knew more than my parents. And yeah, I was like, oh shit.
Well, I mean, it's not to be hella cliche and whatnot, but like, you know, we're taught about the American dream as kids. And that dream is basically like the next generation should be doing better than the last from the lessons learned and whatnot. And it's all going to depend on how you look at that. Because like, if whether it be on a financial standpoint, a spiritual, an emotional, whatever. But to me, it's like, if you can take a W in one of those areas with your family, like that's something in itself. You know what I mean? And like, I feel like my generation, like at least in myself, like I was able to, I mashed it the bed for real, for real. This is my second failed marriage. But with that, at the end of this all, like I learned a lot of shit. And even though I shit the bed with my daughters the last 10 years, what I've learned on the outside of that and coming back together with them, I find myself in a position where, yo, maybe it's not too late to show them how it should have been this whole time. And maybe they won't take the L's that I took because I'm able to show them something better, whether it's unfortunately kind of late or not. It's I not, still have that hope to still try to show them something.
Yeah. And it's not too late, bro. Like, no. You know, like they're. So it was just me and Kalea for so long because Adela dipped out for a while. And so like, I treasure those years because I don't know, like that was just really bonding between her and I. And, you know, I could have done it better, but then when Adela ended up coming back around and then she ended up finally moving in with Adela, like we already had that tight of a fucking bond, yeah. Like that it was just, I don't know. So, you know, and she understands me because I'm the same way as her, is like our ADD is, it controls us to the point where, you know, it's like, even though I love her and I'm always thinking about her, doesn't mean I'm always going to reach out.
Yeah.
And same as her. Mm-hmm. Like we try to talk at least once a day, you know, but it's usually just a text message. Like, yeah. I don't even know where I'm going with this, but
just being connections, man.
Yeah. So, you know, I think it, at some point, if you've already established like a mother, not mother, but like a father daughter bond with them, like that's unbreakable at a certain point. Now, you know, she's admitted that there's things that I've done in my past, as far as like my partying goes, that has scarred her for life because yeah. She probably witnessed a bunch of shit that she probably shouldn't have. You know what I mean? But that also goes with me saying I was never going to censor shit from her because my parents tried to censor everything from me.
Yeah. I feel that. And I definitely like, I don't know. I count my blessings for the connections I was able to make with my daughters before shit went bad. Because honestly, like I couldn't blame them if, when I hit them up again after, you know, I started seeing things with this for, if they're like, fuck off, dad, you know, like I couldn't have blamed them for that. And honestly, like looking at, I'm like so proud to be their dad because they showed that grace and they always saw, even though like I was lost in the relationship and whatnot, they always knew like I was their dad and that I loved them and that I was just fucked up in the situation.
I think the point that I've been trying to make this whole time is I've ingrained it into Kalea's head that this is my first go around too.
Yeah.
At least as far as I remember, like I could have done this before, but they wipe our memory away if that is the case. And we're all just figuring this shit out. And, you know, and I think she understands that I'm just fucking human experiencing this shit for the first time as well.
Yeah. And that's where my daughters are at too. And they just, you know, they always knew I loved them and that I was trying, man. But, you know, like you said, like we're all just doing our fucking best with what we have.
Right.
And there's this fucking debate that a lot of people have. And it's like, yo, well, you know, right from wrong when you're an adult. And it's like, you don't know right from wrong until you're taught or until you learn it.
And to a point.
Give me a second. Like what I'm getting at is like, you're not going to know how to be the perfect parent unless you had perfect parents. And that's not a real fucking thing. True. It's basically we learn as we go or we learn what we're taught. And if you're not necessarily like taught something like a lesson, you're going to learn what you live.
Right. And can you fix that mic, bro?
That was fucking thing. It just keeps wanting to
loosen it, raise it. Yeah, dude, this is lame. I'll figure it out though. Huh? have to put a counterweight on it or something.
Something.
Yeah. So, all right.
But no, like, don't get it twisted, because I've had this conversation with some people and they're like, oh, well, you're trying to excuse some shit. And that's not the case. Like, I will take full responsibility for shit in the bed in my relationship situation and with my daughters and everything. But along with that, like, I was only emulating like what I learned by experience and not taught something like I, and that's what I mean. When I like towards the end of it, I finally saw some shit for what it was, but I had to be exposed to it to know what it was and to recognize it for what it was and to be like, oh, that's why they did this. That's why I did that. That's why this shit was normal to me. So on and so forth. And then you start making those changes once you see things for what they were and you've learned that. And then you can start making those changes. But you ain't going to be able to make those changes until you've seen it for what it is and you've learned it.
So do you think that that's what America's going through right now? Is we're seeing how bad it can get to the point where it's waking people up to the fact that they're actually going to start giving a fuck and getting involved in. Is there... Do you see where I'm going with this? Do you see how I'm tying these two things in together?
Yeah, no doubt. I don't think on a broad scale, broad enough scale to where it would make a real difference, unfortunately. Like, I forget what I was watching or listening to, but like something, it was basically said, like, people don't even want, like, take this for example, like when we're kids and part of us wants to be 18 and be out on our own. And adults are like, and I've said it to my kids, like, yo, just be a kid, like, be happy that you don't have these responsibilities and shit, right? So that is low key saying that as adults, we wish we didn't have these responsibilities, right? So when you take a civilization that really doesn't want those responsibilities and you give them this government structure that's like, yo, let us take those responsibilities for you. You don't have to worry about shit. You just let us run the show and you do, you know, what you need to do to survive and we'll all be good. The majority of the masses don't want that fucking responsibility. So they're like, all right, even though I don't agree with all of this, like it could be worse and I could have to figure it all out by myself. So I guess I'll just roll with this. There's too much of that. It, like, we've been conditioned to not be self-reliant and provide for ourselves. Because the fact of the matter is, like, all of us could be, like, I mean, there's people that live in cities where the fucking houses are stacked on top of each other. They ain't got no motherfucking yard, but they're still growing their own food, like, out on, like, a 2x2 fucking deck where they get a little bit of fucking sun. Like, where there's a will, there's a way. But we're so conditioned to, like, not want to do that. And I'll admit it myself, man. Like, there's been plenty of things where I've been like, oh, I want to do this. I'll buy the shit to do it and everything. But then when it comes time to actually do it, I'm like, like, I just don't want to put in the fucking effort because I'm a lazy American bitch, you know, like it is what it is. And but like what you were saying, I think there's too many people are just are too far gone in the conditioning to where there will be a mass awakening before, you know, things go real bad.
Right. Did you catch yesterday? My mom was talking about something and I was like, well, where did you even hear this? And she was like, the news. And I rolled my eyes.
The algae thing, the algae blooms. It's crazy because my tattoo homie was actually going all in on that the other day too. And then we were talking to my mom about it because there was hella algae in their pool. And she was like, yeah, there's lots of algae in lots of places. It's not all going to kill you. And I'm like, you know, some algae is good, some algae is bad, just like everything else.
Right.
But you put one little fucking newsflash out there and you're going to have everybody shook.
Yeah. No. And I was like, where'd you hear that, mom? The news. And then as soon as it came out of her mouth, she knew that I was like,
oh, no,
I don't think I had to say anything else. I just rolled my eyes.
We all felt it. And it was like, oh, everyone. Yeah. Funny shit.
So, you know, like, I was estranged from my parents for a while and we recently reconnected and it is a beautiful thing. It is a very fucking beautiful thing. And even their rule might be a beautiful thing because it creates us to not have fights,
right?
Because no conspiracies, no political talk and no religious talk is allowed. Therefore, every time, like you said, everybody got quiet after the fact because they saw where it was going to go. So
we all just learn how to navigate in a peaceful way.
Right. But we were able to all go out to dinner and shit, yeah. Have a great time. Yeah. And the conversation never got weird.
Yeah. Nobody's ass got hurt. It just was a nice dinner.
Yeah.
Hanging out and it was good.
So it is possible to talk about mundane things for the right people.
Yeah.
So yeah, I feel that. So, bro, you're crushing it. I think that podcasting might be like your niche that you didn't even fucking know that you had.
Well, I think it's also content, though. Like, I mean, we kind of had it set up pretty easy, like 30 fucking years of, you know, random material that you might not even be thinking of that would just pop up anyway.
Right.
But
I mean, we didn't even get to the Snapple bottle on the fucking bus.
Oh man. Yo, remember when Paul, when we were all busted and we had to sit in the very front fucking seat?
I already know where you're going with this.
Fucking eraser. Priscilla. Eraser off the inside lens of her glasses. Right in the fucking eye.
Get rid of the eye.
We blame it on the kids in the back of the bus and she just rolls with it, man.
Yeah, she pulls over and she's like, that's dangerous. I could have fucking crashed. She didn't say fucking. Paul turns around and yells at the back. He was like, you could have hurt us all. And then she looks at Paul. She's like, that's right, Paul.
Oh, my God. We were so bad.
Poor Priscilla.
You know, she fucking loved us, though, bro. I worked with her in childcare. Like, well, I must have been like 19 or 20. We worked at the extended day program at Michelson. The after school program, I worked with her yet. And she would just go on and on and on about how much she loved us. And I'm just like,
we were so bad.
God, we were fucking evil. But she loved us kids, man.
We were so bad, bro. Bonkers,
yeah.
And then we had to go to high school and I had to meet somebody just as bad as us. And that was Mark Franz. And man, put me and him in the same classroom together. That was all bad, bro. Mm. There was one time where he was fucking... He was going to grab the, it was Mrs. Lowry. She was a science teacher, gray haired, bull dyke looking.
Oh yeah. 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 Okay. Yeah, right? Didn't she even do sports or something?
Too? Yeah. She did PE so that she could look at the girls.
Whoa,
naked.
Whoa. Come on now.
And so pull that microphone back up.
This fucking thing.
Anyways. And so there was one day we were seniors, bro, and we had her for something. And he was going to, there you go.
I think that might help. I'll scoot it closer, but I think it might have been the weight dispersion.
Yep. Look at you, geoengineering.
It's been a long time, but it'll come back.
There you go.
All right. Stay there, bitch.
Yeah, that's perfect. There's no background noise too. Fuck. Cool. Anyways. So, yeah, there was just one day we were seniors and me and Mark Franz devised a plan that we were going to pretend that she was on fire. Shit. And so I was going to stand up and yell fire. And Mark Franz was going to grab the fire extinguisher off of the wall, spray her with the fire extinguisher. And I was going to throw the fire blanket over her. That was our plan. Mm. And then Mark prematurely decides he's going to go sit next to the fire extinguisher. So it's right next to him, which makes no fucking sense because that just shows that we fucking
premeditated
this shit. Mm. Anyways, but he goes back to sit next to the fucking fire extinguisher and he sit next to it. And I look back at him and I'm like, all right, I guess we're a go. Oh. And so I'm getting ready to stand up and yell fire. And she was Mark. And she was like, Mark, go sit back down in your seat. And he was like, okay.
Damn it.
And she was like, oh no, he already picked it up. It was in, he was holding it and it was underneath his sweatshirt.
Oh, she didn't even know he had it.
He had it in his hands. And she was like, Mark, seriously, go take your seat. And he was like, okay. And then she turned around to the fucking board and then she turned back around and he was just still sitting there. Oh, no. And she was like, Mark, I really want you to go take your seat. And he was like, so do I. And he had to stand up and fucking show that he had the fire extinguisher and shit. luckily I was able to just keep my fucking mouth shut and nothing happened. I was like Ralphie in fucking A Christmas Story. I just kept my fucking mouth shut.
That's great. I didn't realize that you two like fucked around and doing shenanigans like that together.
Well, bro, he was like the class clown of Michelson.
Yeah.
Or was it Mark Twain?
I think he was, I think he was Michelson.
All right.
Yeah, because I think him and Paul
right. Cause he was at Avery with us.
Yeah. They were kind of friends before we all started seeing each other.
Yeah. Yeah. So he was inner circled with us for sure. Yeah. So in high school, we definitely had a mutual hate for Mrs. Lowry. Like we even dyed her hair blue one time with punky color. We told her it was, temporary, even though it was semi-permanent. Oh, no. And she had natural fucking white hair.
So it hooked, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
Nice.
She was like, oh, can I do this for the rally? Is it temporary? We're like, yep.
Oh, man.
Yeah, dude, we were fucking assholes. All right, man, we're coming up on an hour and a half, so let's go ahead and fucking end this thing.
Okay.
You're a natural, bro. You ever think about starting a podcast, let me know and I'll help you get it off the ground. Or maybe we'll see more of you on White Rabbit. Who knows?
Fuck it, dude. Let's make a spin off this shit. I'm down.
Anyways, brother. So I would say let them know where they can find you, but it's not like you're trying to do anything on social media. So man, there's nothing really you want to promote, right? Yeah. So this is just one of the homies that I grew up with, man. And I'm glad you're back into my life, brother. So
glad to be here.
Hells yeah. Let's go.
Peace.
All right, well, we're going to end this the way that we end everything. And, you know, I'm sorry I didn't give you guys a breakdown for the last commercial and it was just abruptly ended like that. But we're going to end this the way that we normally do. And that's with my boy Hi-Rez. Let's fucking go.
I would never bend my knee to Satan. I would never sell myself for no paper. You can go ahead and call me a hater, but I'll go ahead and call you a traitor. Hey, Hollywood is getting canceled. I put God over financials. Just know that I never kill myself if they try to use me as a damn example. Hey, first Lil Nas, now Sam Smith. Satan coming for the damn kids. These rappers and singers are puppets. The second the label give them their advances, God is forgiven. We were all made in his image. That's why he told me to remix this. Every nation demoralization while we celebrating when people are sinning. Don't care if you trans. Nah, or you a man who in love with a man. But if you're gonna cover your nipples with tassels and leave the kids alone and just do OnlyFans, I just can't stand all the lies of the media pushing these kids, they ain't standing a chance. Hollywood pushes agendas with all of these artists. I swear that they industry's plans. All of these fallacies that they preach in this way, that there's no more objective reality. Go ahead, laugh at me. But I think that you worshiping Satan is more of a tragedy. They sold out our nation for more dough. That's why I don't watch award shows. Celebrity puppets, we're living in luxury. All of our business are forced closed. Allah Jehovah Hashem, Yahweh, you can call him whatever you do, but worshiping Satan with the purpose of angering God, well, that's just gonna make you a fool.